This is Forrest Solis interviewing Ramona Tudicini on June 21st, 2016 at 2:45 p.m. for the Creative Push Project. Okay, so if you can take us back to the conception of the first birth, what were the circumstances? Was it planned? Were you excited?
Well, me and my boyfriend, we were very young. We were 18, and I remember...
At that point, what you were saying.
Okay. I was 18, and we really wanted to be together. I know that wasn't a very good choice, but we had a baby, and then we had another one. But my first pregnancy, I had to get certain care, and it was only through my tribe at first. And we would go down to the doctor in Phoenix for a while, and then wasn't really anything strange or anything different with her birth. She was pretty normal. My health was pretty normal. She was a big kid, though, and she is 7, and she's really tall now.
Did you know what to expect? Did you have, family support?
When I did get pregnant with her, I did get help from my family, a lot of help. His mom took care of me most of my pregnancy, and my mom, she really slowly came around to the idea of me being pregnant. She also had kids as a young teenager too. But my daughter's was pretty normal. My son's is really the one that has a lot more stories around it. I had him a couple years later. I did want my next child, and my next child after him, I want them 5 years apart. So I've been really lucky to have them 1 month apart too. So his birthday's next month, and he was really a unique pregnancy, because at first my relationship did have a lot of ups and downs. Emotionally, I was not that well, and I literally had relationship problems, so I didn't get to go see the doctor until I was literally at least 5 months pregnant. So it was a long time. He really wasn't focused on what we were trying to do as a family. I've had some miscarriages in between too, when I was younger, and from the age of 14, I had an abortion, because we accidentally got pregnant, and he was. It was kind of hard, because as a child, I was abused sexually by family members of my stepdad's side. And the abortion and the miscarriages, I still do think my children are on the other side. If anyone's spiritual, I think they are, you know, just like my kids now, and I feel spiritually that they do come around still, and but those births I still hold on to. They live on the other side. They are human. I mean, not human, but something. I don't know what yet, but I do know that my children are still there. So that's the three that I really cherish. My son, though, I did get diabetes when... Well, almost hitting that borderline of diabetes. So that was really surprising. And that was around when I was like 6 months pregnant with him.
This is the second birth.
The second birth, my son.
Do you think that was at all like stress?
I think it was more stress too. And not having my partner there. And Let's see, what else?
So were you doing it on your own at this point?
I was basically doing it on my own. I was literally trying to stay healthy, but we only had one ride. But it was good because later on we did find out that, you know, he was kind of cheating on me, and it made us stronger in the end, though, because he did realize after his son was born, he told me right away after he came out that he was sorry. He did not know how much trouble he put me through, and that he understands now. And there's a lot of things when we go somewhere where they've been, and I'm still having some emotional stress towards that. But both pregnancies have been a blessing. They've both been blessings. So that's why I am glad I still have children, because there was a point where I was told with the abortion I would not be able to have kids. So I literally had to pray for my kids.
Well, were you, when you were 18 and you got pregnant, were you thinking that you couldn't get pregnant?
Well, at that point, it was more of me and my boyfriend just wanting to hang on to each other. He was my first love, and being hurt so many times and letting, you know, just this man hold me, you know, caress me and really love me for me instead of just all this abuse that I had in my life. Like, I felt loved for first time, and that's kind of where we were like, oh, okay, because our parents had told us one time, his mom, if you were 18, it would have been at least okay. So
how old were you?
I was 14 when I first had my abortion, and then I was 18
with the same man.
So we've been together ever since we were in middle school. Yeah, we met actually over there across the street, in the old casino. So this whole reservation right here is like a lot of history between me and him.
Are you still together?
We're still together, still married. It took a lot out of me to find balance between my family and having my own stuff, and then having him together with me. A lot of apologizing, a lot of I regret doing this, and a lot of reassuring happened. And yeah, we got married and had a reception here, and Kawhi was the boy was maybe 5 months old.
Have you been able to trust him again, like emotionally?
Mm-hmm. I think I have. Not a lot, but I think I have came around to, I trust you to have a phone. Because at first it was a lot of trouble to have a phone in our relationship, especially a smartphone, because that's what he had. And thank goodness I was technology, you know, just knowledgeable about technology, because that was the way I found out. It was a lot of being so crazy. I lost a really good job across the street from it. Yeah, so when I lost everything, I literally lost everything, and then I got bad into just being home all the time, and then getting pregnant. I thought that would help heal from the first one, which it did, because it gave me a new, you know, but there was always that frightening feeling that this could be taken away from me. Like, this baby could literally stop, and it could just fall out. And I was like, losing the carriage was my biggest fear, ever having a baby. And he talks about wanting to have another one, but I'm afraid with just how my body's been and what it's been put through, I'm afraid that I might lose another one, and I might have to have that long distance relationship again. So yeah,
you've really been through a lot, and you guys, it's just so in awe mm-hmm. of the fact that you're together, and like you said, stronger as a result. But you know, to certainly not to let him off the hook, but the youthfulness of it too probably played into some of those bad decisions. Mm-hmm. And now do you feel like you're in a different place since you're more mature? And
yes, like, yes. The things that I've done before we got married, though, I think really made me a stronger person, though, because we were just 18. We couldn't do nothing. Literally, I used to let him go to strip clubs and let him get dances and just literally stand to the side, because I felt like this man is wanting to be with me for the rest of my life. He's never going to venture out like this. Let's do this while you're young and we're not married yet. Let it get him out of his system. I don't know how I let him think that he could just, you know, go out and do it on his own. I told him I never wanted that. But now it's really paid off, because he doesn't have a desire to do those things. He doesn't have that desire to go be pleased like that. He's seen how far we can go, how much money you can spend, how much it sends you down into a downhill. So I have good and bad reasons with that of why I made that decision, but now I'm happy I did, because he's amazing now. He helps me and supports me in on so much things. So literally going through bad for so long and then just working it out and making sure you guys always communicate. Communication, I think, is like key role. I mean, they don't lie. Key role, it would be probably communication and just supporting each other, because I support him. And now we have like so many businesses. Like I said, we have the fry bread business we do on the weekends. So I've really come like a really big kind of like a light in his room. So I sell fry bread. He's able to, you know, get benefits from that. I'm able to contribute a lot more, and I don't feel so depressed like I used to be, where I felt like I just had to stay home and then getting this job. So I literally can say I have so much faith that I think I could really show someone who else has faith that as long as you keep going, and even if you want kids, you can have it.
Yeah, that's great. What was life at home with the kids? I mean, were you nursing? Did they have any issues? Or was
my first daughter, she was able to be breastfed from most of her first year. She was really, really good at breastfeeding. She would never, ever latch on to me. I just had always a problem with that. I didn't really like doing that. I'd rather have it, you know, suctioned out and then bottle fed. But the concern with that was teeth and stuff like that. Would it grow right? Would they, you know, from a natural nipple, from a birthing bottle? So I chose to do half and half. With my son, though, I really had difficulty with him latching on, with him drinking it. When he did drink it, he would get frustrated because it wouldn't flow. I tried and tried the first day he came out. I tried to pump and pump and pump, and it was so hard. I don't know why it was, but it was like that. And it was really weird because I had a tooth problem, and I did not know that going into labor. So when they put the oxygen tank on me with my second one, I got really, really bad headache, like migraine headache. And so after I had my baby, I still felt that way. I felt like the epidural too on my second one messed my back up. Yes, because of the epidural.
How?
I have no idea. The anesthesiologist, I remember just leaning over, rounded. My first one went perfect. I knew what to do. And I had to do a blood patch. Because I just don't know why. There was just a bad shock that went down my right leg. And it literally went flying up. And he said that he had to do another one. But he had, and I had to do transfusions. Yeah, I had to do that. They did that, and then they went ahead and numbed me again. So it was really hard because now when I try to bend over, lift up stuff, it is so much harder than what it was. So. Epidural for my next one, I'm not sure. And that's the another concern is the epidurals, and I don't think so.
Did you have them both vaginally?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was your partner there?
My partner was there for both of them. So I did get to have him there for both of them.
Did you know the sexes?
Yes. The second one, I was more... at the end of my pregnancy, that's when Jordan came back to me. My husband's name is Jordan, so he came back to me. And we kind of got to have a normal baby event, so I'm not sure what they would call it.
Baby shower type stuff?
Or no, kind of like just the stuff that you get to do, like the measuring the belly and stuff like that. The leading up to the pregnancy and having the baby is what we kind of got to finish at the end when I was big. And it was more and more exciting when you could find out the sex. And so that's more fun. In that type of relationship, the stuff that's like that is more fun when you're doing that.
Rudy?
Yeah.
You know, birth experience of your son?
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all on. That happened, really.
Is it recording? Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
So it's just all these difficulties that have led up to those problems. That's why I include them, because I had way too much stress in my life.
So did you, you guys were able to find out the sex together, were you both wanting a boy, were you excited about him?
I think we did. We wanted a boy. I just wanted him to be a role model for somebody. And I think our son really helped him pull that through, because now he works his butt off just doing side jobs and side jobs. So we have like I said, we have like four different businesses. So landscaping, fry bread here. He has his maintenance job. So literally, it's a lot of work. So
when you look back at this, I mean, it's amazing how long you guys have known each other. You've really grown up together.
Yep.
When you look back on this, what do you think? Like, I mean, do you reflect on that experience?
I do. I really do. I have pictures of him. And when we're having hard times, I really like to look back at the picture he gave me when we first met, because it was just like, there was nothing wrong. I just miss you. And it takes you back, and it kind of makes you really remember and miss that time, because you're in such a hard time. And so, yeah, that was one of just the things that pulled me through, was reminding myself who he was. Who he really, really was. So,
yeah, and who he can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. Okay, Ashley, do you have any questions?
I just had one question. I was curious, earlier you were talking about when you first became pregnant at 18, and a lot of your initial care was you had to drive, like, through your tribe, mm-hmm. you had to drive to the valley. So what was that like? Like, what did that kind of care entail?
That really... just was prenatal ultrasounds, making sure my health was okay. And that's because I did the same routine with my son, and I found out down there when I was 5 months pregnant that I did almost hit where I needed to control what I was eating, sugar intakes and stuff like that.
Interesting. So what was your mom's, do you have siblings?
Mm-hmm.
What was your like family history of birth? I mean, did your mom also go to Phoenix or how did she make
it? I'm not really sure how she did it. I do know because she grew up in kind of like a foster home care system. And I did too for the period of like till I was maybe 2 or 3 and I finally got out of there. But for me, I didn't consider it a foster home. It was just more like my grandparents, you know, and they took really good care of me. And then my mom got on her own and then she had kids later with her husband. And but yeah. She has 2 boys and a girl. So girl, boy, girl, boy. And that's crazy because I had the same thing, was girl, boy, girl, boy. So it was interesting because I really liked paying attention to those details like about kids, where they look like, or the baby, who looks like who. And I always feel like the boys look more like their moms. And then the second kid looks more like, or the second boy looks more like the dad. So it's really cool when you start, because I took children's education development or something like that in high school. So they talked about this different pods where the child will end up, how they look and stuff like that. So that was a really nice experiment to go through. So
yeah.
Absolutely.
So when you miscarried, were you very far along?
I was literally maybe weeks along. But it was really interesting because on my last one, it was more recent. It was before my daughter, before my first one. And I would think I maybe been 17. And I couldn't, it was like it, I stopped being pregnant, I found out in Winslow, and I didn't miscarry. It stayed in me until a few months later it came out. Because I was wondering, you know, how small was it? And that actually is the child I buried up here. The one I got to keep, because my first two, the first one got taken by the abortion people. So I really didn't get no closure with that one. The second one, my mother, she was kind of, she was really traditional where they would bury the fetus underneath a young tree. So that's where that one happened. But I like to tell my kids, you know, I want you to know that I think of, you know, you guys all being here. So that's just how I kind of cope with the lost ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to find some way to cope with it. Because if you don't, they're like they're always on your mind. You're always feeling like you lost something. And then I'm making more kids to replace them, and I don't want to do that. I'm happy where I am. I understand about having kids now, and it takes a lot of work. It literally does, and I really wish I would have waited. As special as my kids are, I wish I would have waited to give myself a future, to educate myself, to not have to take care of my kids while I'm trying to go to school. And I mean, it was literally hard. It's been still hard because I have to go through school and I have to find babysitters. It's just, it's not like a college person should be, where it's no children until you get to that appropriate age. Now my daughter, I share everything about my past with her. I try not to keep it from her. I try not to tell her that it's bad. So she understands that waiting for that right person is the best thing for her. And that's she's old enough to let me tell her things, and she's really a good kid.
Yeah, I teach at ASU, and I just talked to our dean recently about having a better support network for the moms that are going to school, you know, and how they need to be acknowledged. It's a whole added layer of challenge that the standard student doesn't experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a very limited support network for those people, you know? Yeah.
So when it's really, the time is really the biggest problem I have, is time. How am I going to be able to work this and then go to school? So I literally have to take off work from this, stop being paid, and then go over there. So it's hard.
It is. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
For sharing with us. That was amazing.
I know it's not a really pretty story, but it's a difficulty pregnancy, and I think most of the problems came from all that craziness. So if there's ladies going through craziness and they're wondering, why is my children like this, you know, it might have been a little bit of that.
Yeah, stress has a lot to do with how your body functions.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like you're in a really good place now.